this edition of the Hagmann-Hagmann Report. Ted Brewer is our guest, Dr. Ted Brewer, that is. Healthmasters.com, that's his website. Doug5 is the coupon code. Take advantage of that, 5% off all merchandise. And we use his products, very good, the best. Actually, the only nutritional supplements, in my view, out there for... I don't think I would use anything else. If you knew nothing else, folks, order his multiple vitamin, ultimate multiple. You're going to notice the difference right away. That's healthmasters.com. Until further notice, Doug 5, 5% off all of the, well, his inventory, his complete inventory. I recommend the ultimate multiple as well as the purple sticks as well as, well, the entirety of his product line. Before we get back to Ted and your calls, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Have you visited MinutemanStove.com recently? Oh my goodness. Deluxe fire star, deluxe stove and fire makers kit. Minuteman Forever, 50-inch fire starter, square skillet package and grill package. You got your Minuteman rocket stove, the Cadillac of rocket stoves. You've got more than just the simple rocket stove, although it's the best. I mean, it's the best rocket stove on the market. You've got Maya sticks. You've got the flashlights. The same kind you see on TV, you know, where the truck runs over them. Just a wonderful sustainable lighting power package. Folks, visit Minuteman Stove. You cannot beat the product line. You cannot beat the quality of the products. All made in the USA. The rocket stoves, fantastic stuff. MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you.
All right. We're going to do a question and answer hour with Dr. Ted Brewer. The phone lines are full. We're going to get through these calls, but the number is 844-769-2944. And I want to thank Todd and his wife from Global Star Radio Network for manning the phones. Ted, are you ready to take some phone calls?
I'll do the best I can. Guys, do me a favor, okay? Just keep the question kind of succinct to the point, and just that way we can take as many phone calls as we can tonight. As far as individual diagnosing and prescribing and all that, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm going to talk in generality and terms. If there's a problem that you're having that I don't know how to tell you to approach from a nutritional standpoint, just send me an email to the office, and what I will do is I will work on that personally and try to get that done for you and get it back to you via email. So we got to keep this as succinct as we can. We can talk about anything. We can talk about the blood of Christ. We can talk about transhumanism. We can talk about Morgellons. We can talk about geopolitical politics. I'll try to talk to you about anything that I've studied on, and if I don't know the answer to something, I'll simply tell you again, I don't know, but I could find out, or I'll try to find out. Okay, let's do it.
All right, first up, first call is from Pat in Maine. Pat, you're live on the Hagmann and Hagmann Report with Dr. Ted Brewer.
Hello.
Adrian.
Hey, Adrian. Yeah. Oh, so okay. Wonderful to hear you guys. This is so humbling and wonderful, and man, my adrenaline's going 1,000 miles a minute. But my whole query is Facebook and why Mark Zuckerberg and these people in the high-tech regions of Silicon Valley are allowed to get away with these horrible crimes against humanity. And I really feel that in the coming days that it's going to be Nazi Germany all over again.
I guess that's the question all three of us can, you know, put an answer to. I personally believe it's just all part of the control mechanism. We know that Google and their analytics and the smartphones, et cetera, are basically used as a brain stimulating device to do a dopamine trigger. And these guys are enslaving us. They're enslaving us one smartphone at a time, one iPad at a time, one computer terminal at a time. And remember, these guys work together with Singularity University with Kurzweil. They also work together with NASA. And they're all bringing in this one world global government, and they're bringing in a technology to control us through frequency manipulation and through our DNA. That's why they're allowed to get away with all of it, simply because the Sabbatean Kabbalists that are running the planet, the banking systems, they're the ones that are financing all of this stuff, and they're the ones that are wanting to have it done. So that's why they're above the law. They're not prosecuted, and they're allowed just to kind of run roughshod over the rest of humanity, because that's the goal here. That's the final goal. What do you guys think, Joe and Doug?
Well, one, you know, the level of censorship and controls that Facebook puts out over, especially the alternative and conservative media, is very alarming. A good example of this, Mark Dice did a video on this earlier this week. He had a post that he put up about, I believe it was a Dove soap commercial, where it was a soap commercial about mothers, and they gave three or four examples, and the last example they gave was of a man who identified as a woman, and he, you know, he was saying how he's a mother and he was cross-dressed and all this stuff. Well, they suspended his account for his post because he said, you know, I'm going to throw up and I need some Irish Spring, you know, making a joke with another brand of soap. And they turned around and they suspended his account for 24 hours. Well, they reactivated it and issued an apology to him. So he reposted the same post again because it was removed. Well, then they, after issuing an apology for banning him for that same post, they turned around and banned him for 72 hours for the same post they already apologized for banning him for. And this is just one small example. You know, you have shadow bans on Twitter, the demonetization on YouTube.
That's right.
And the level of control that these people are allowed to exert. When you have the Fresno, Facebook killer shooting allowed to stay up on Facebook for 3 hours. When you have, assassinate Donald Trump Facebook pages that are, you know, left to be unchecked. But yet somebody who opposes the immigration, and flooding of the West with Islam, you post something about that, and you're going to get banned, you're going to get blocked, you're violating their terms of service. It's a very... their terms of service and their definition of hate speech only seems to apply to views that are in opposition to their political views. And in that sense, it is like Nazi Germany, and it's only going to get worse. All right. Adrian, thank you so much for the call. We're going to move on to Richard in Canada next. Richard, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, so great to talk to you, Joe and Doug. And I first discovered you tonight there, Dr. Ted. And by the way, all those things you had to say, amen, brother, amen, 100%.
Well, thank you so much.
So I guess it was a lot. I'm going to have to listen to the show a second time to really absorb it all. But I think I'm on the same page as you are. So I guess my question was more towards Christianity. And I know you talked, let's just talk about the good and the evil. And I really do feel now, you know, when you take all the drama away and all the idiosyncrasies and the, you know, the banking system and all those things, when you really get down to the baseline of it all, it really is, you know, good versus evil. And I want to read something here and just get your thoughts on it. This is a quote, I think the movie used it, but it came from a French philosopher or a spin on it. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he didn't exist. And I think about that statement, and I really think that kind of holds true. You know, people that practice Christianity, I think they're practicing lukewarm Christianity. And really, I think the evil in this world is trying to mask itself. And I think that, for me, that statement exemplifies that. And I just wanted to get your kind of thoughts on that.
Well, that's a quote that I've heard many times, and it's true. This is what secularism did. Secularism, what its intent wasn't to basically stamp out the devil. It was to stamp out everything as far as any type of religion, any type of anything. And so when they do that, they leave a giant void in which humanism can come in and take control of a population, because no longer does anyone have a moral right or wrong compass. So yes, that's one of the primary things they did in the very beginning. And then they also did it with the eugenics protocol starting back in the 1800s with Darwin, thinking that telling us that we came from animals. That was another thing that dehumanized us. And then Rockefeller continued doing this with the stuff we talked about earlier tonight. And all of this stuff is meant to take away our relationship with Yahweh and Yeshua. They want to destroy that. That's what Hollywood has done. Hollywood has a deep-seated hatred of Jesus Christ. They hate Christ. Look what they did to Mel Gibson. And they told him they would destroy him if he released the movie The Passion of the Christ, because they want to bring in this Kabbalah satanic group of people that are going to control the airways and put all of this filth into our minds. That's who these guys are. And so you're absolutely right. They want to create this giant void, make people think the devil's not real, God's not real, nothing's real, and then in the end, they're going to bring us back under a Luciferian dictatorship, which is what their goal is, and this is exactly what the Bible says in the book of Genesis that they're trying to accomplish. What do you guys think?
You know, the one Bible verse comes to mind where it says the serpent was more subtle than any other
cunning, that's right.
Yeah, more subtle and cunning than any other beast in the field. That tells me a lot right there, especially with the quote, the greatest trick the devil pulled was convincing people he doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's how when we think of what we do in our promotion of Jesus and the gospel and planting the seeds that, you know, the Lord will water and it'll either convert people or people will grow strong in their faith. The same thing, it works the same way on the other side. The seeds of evil can be planted and can be done so cunningly and very subtly where you don't notice them. But if you continue down that path, you know, those things will sprout up and manifest into something far greater. And I always say this, that you couldn't put what's on TV programs from the 1990s, you couldn't have taken the culture of the 1990s and just thrown it onto a TV program in, you know, 1960, because people would be outraged. They had to slowly break down the morals and slowly break down, the belief system and infiltrate Christianity. It's a process, and it can't be done overnight. And this is how, you know, we are infiltrated by evil on a constant basis.
And also, Joe, I've mentioned this before, but for the listeners who haven't heard me talk about this before, I want to bring this up. Back in the mid-1800s, the Scofield Bible came out, and they promoted the rapture. And when they started promoting the rapture, they started taking Christians out of the loop, because the Christians were told that nothing bad was ever going to happen to them, that before the tribulation started, or before all hell broke loose in our United States, that God was going to bring them up with the first load, and they were going to be translated or raptured out of their bodies and go directly into heaven, so nothing's going to happen to them. Well, the problem I have with that whole teaching is this. The Bible says if the tribulation wasn't cut short, that even the elect, the top of the line of the Christians and the guys who are really serving God would not be saved, could not be saved. So this whole rapture theology that started with the Scofield Bible and then continued moving towards Zionism, allowing the Rothschild banking cartels to set up Israel. We know what happened with that, with the Balfour Declaration. I've done an entire show with you on that. And allowing Israel to get a pass on no matter what they do, even though they're a Rothschild fiefdom, so to speak, it doesn't make any sense to me. And see, all of this stuff has taken over 150 years to manifest. And so, Joe, you're exactly right. They know they can't do it. If you'd have taken the filth that we have on TV today and tried to drop it into a 1960s format back 50, 60 years ago, the station would be shut down. They'd probably close. They would probably be put in jail and everything else. But now it's just considered okay. I mean, you watch the mainstream cable networks now. They openly use God's name in vain. They curse all of the time. They have open, not total like a sex thing, but they have, you know, bare breasts and bare this and bare that. I mean, I'm talking stuff that kids can watch that's not being paid for. We're not talking about prime channels that you have to pay for. This is just regular TV. The violence is unbelievable. And all of this is part of the Sabbatean Kabbalah way to turn everything upside down that God created to be received with thanksgiving. Because remember, Sabbatai Levi in the 1600s, he had a group of followers, a sect of Judaism, that he told them that he was the Messiah. And the only way they could bring the serpent god out of the pit, if you guys read their stuff they teach with their Kabbalah, is to basically turn everything evil on this planet. That's what they were trying to do. And so they taught these guys this. Well, he ended up converting to become a Muslim. And this is a true story. You can read about it on Wikipedia if you'd like. And they won't go into a lot of this stuff, but you can read about it online if you'd like. And then what happened is Jacob Frank said that he was the reincarnation of Sabbatai Levi. And he's the one who brought the Rothschild banking cartels into the Sabbatai Levi cult of trying to turn everything upside down. And when the Rothschilds got involved, they brought their Babylonian money system, their slave debt money system is what it is, into power throughout Europe. And that basically has permeated now for hundreds of years throughout the entire planet. And now we only have a few central banks that are not controlled by this Rothschild giant vampire squid banking system that's being run through the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. In fact, if you want to read a really interesting book, it's called The Tower of Basel. You can read that, and it talks about the BIA and how it was founded after World War I for Germany to pay war reparations through. It's a very interesting concept. And then, of course, in 1933, the United States was bankrupt because of the Federal Reserve Act siphoning the money out and contracting the M1 money supply. And so in 1933, you know, Franklin Delano, this country was basically bankrupt, so he decided to seize the money, Roosevelt did, seize all the real money, the gold, which funded the Exchange Stability Fund, in 1934. And in 1934, the Exchange Stability Fund was created and funded with billions of dollars and basically seized gold from the American population. And that right there started the shadow government and gave the Rothschild banking cartel, the Fed, control over the United States Treasury. That's the systematic process of how this shadow government took place. They tried to do it all the way back within the War of 1812 because they wanted to have a central bank. And Biddle got it put in with the Bank of America. Andrew Jackson, 20 years later, got it booted out when his charter was over with. They tried to kill him. They worked from the very beginning to try to get the central bank into the United States, in which they did on Jekyll Island when they met, I think it was 1910 or 1911. They started the formation of all of this stuff, and then they did it in 1913. This is how this whole thing processes. These guys, remember, these guys don't have a 5-year plan. They got a 100-year plan. They got a 200-year plan. This is what they do. And you know, in Rothschilds, if you read the book, the Bloodlines, it actually says that the Rothschild banking cartel sets a place center, the head Rothschild family, they set a place setting for Lucifer at their dinner table every single night. And according to this book, it's claimed that approximately every 37 years, he shows up and tells them how to proceed with world events. Now, I'm not privy to that. I'm not in that weird thing. But we know the movies that Stanley Kubrick did, Eyes Wide Shut, that it was basically talking about what the Rothschilds did in their private Babylonian parties. And I've got a friend of mine who was invited to one of these parties. I kid you not. He's an international talk show host. If I mentioned his name, you'd know exactly who he is. And he went to this party, this Babylonian party. It was in a warehouse district close to where he lives. And when he got there, there were all these people running around. Basically, it was a giant orgy. And he couldn't believe it. I know of another, and I know this personally from a firsthand experience, one of my contacts in the speaking field, one of the top motivational speakers in the world, every single day. He's also one of these Kabbalists. And what he does is every day after he does a seminar, he passes out room keys to like 20 or 30 women, the good-looking women in the front rows, inviting them to a Babylonian party in his room in his penthouse suite, and they have a large orgy. You think I'm kidding you? I'm not kidding you. And by the way, guys, remember what the Bible says. Paul says, stop doing the orgies throughout the New Testament. Stop going to orgies. You think, what's he talking about, orgies? Guys, these orgy things have never stopped. This has been going on since the Babylonians. This has been going on since the Druids. This has been going on since the children of Israel left in Egypt, and Moses went up on the mountain to bring the commandments back down. He comes down. They're having a giant satanic party down there, worshiping a golden calf with a giant orgy going on. This is all part of the worship that was taught to these people in the book of Enoch, all the way back to Genesis chapter 6, from the fallen angels. All of this stuff is brought back through us again, being recycled as it was in the days of Noah, when every thought of every man was evil all of the time. So guys, this stuff is all around you. You just don't see it because you're not exposed to it. But they've completely contaminated our youth with their pornography. Giving these kids these iPhones they can watch porn on it, whatever. There's a private school I know, and I talked to one of the headmasters here a few months ago, and I asked him about it. I said, do you have any problems with this whole secularism getting into your school? He goes, well, Ted, he goes, here's what's happened. Almost all the kids here now don't think they're a boy or a girl. They all consider them themselves to be bisexuals. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah. He goes, that's what this has done to the generation of today. They consider themselves to be bi, and they don't think there's anything wrong with that because they've been programmed by people like Miley Cyrus and Madonna and Katy Perry that all of this is okay. And guys, I'm here to say this to you. It's not okay. And we can't allow ourselves to be conformed to the standards of this world. We have to rise above that. That's why I said Donald Trump is not our Messiah. He's a figurehead. He's an employee of the people of the United States. He's basically been hired. He's a hireling. We, the people, are supposed to run this country, and we've got to take our country back. And I'm sorry to get long-winded on that answer, but I just want to explain a little bit of that, Doug and Joe. Do we have another caller?
Yeah, we have a number of callers. Thank you, Richard, for your call. Hope that answers your question. We're going to go next to Todd in Michigan. Todd, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman.
That would answer every Richard's question.
Go ahead, Todd.
Hi, guys. I want to raise both hands to Yahweh and bless you guys and say amen. One huge amen. And I guess it's a night of Todd's.
And I guess it is, Todd.
When I turned on the show tonight and I looked at your face, Ted, the tears started coming down. And you hadn't said a word yet. The show had begun. Just you sitting there on the screen. And when you did that prayer and started talking about binding and loosing, I have written a letter today talking about the same thing. Everything we're talking about here is spiritual. And
that's right.
The church has forgotten that we have the power through Yeshua to bind it and
that's right.
loose it from heaven and cure this problem. But the church is not going to do that. They're going to be our enemy. It says it right in the Word of God. I mean, you take the 80-some percent that voted for Trump of evangelicals, and you put this program in front of them, it's on the air tonight that you guys have put on, and they will run you out of town.
That's true.
What
That's
do we
true.
Do?
Chase after them.
They're our enemy. They're going to destroy, and then they're going to be destroyed. Oh, and by the way, Doug, your lighting looks great tonight.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so
but,
much.
I think you said you were going to put that prayer on your website.
I am. I'm going to put. It'll be posted first of the week at Health Masters. There were some things that didn't read quite right when I got it yesterday, and so I had to make a couple of tiny little adjustments to it. Yep. And so I was reading it from what I had corrected. But I tell you what, when he prayed that prayer over us in my office yesterday in downtown, Health Masters main office, and the anointing fell from heaven, and I felt it just pull around me, and Austin felt the same thing, it's still messing with my head and my spirit, and I almost started having tears, almost started crying, and I thought, my gosh, boy, was that a prayer? And I said, I need a copy of that, and Austin said the same thing. He says, Dad, I don't really tear up with stuff. I'm pretty tough, he goes, but dog, he says, that was unbelievable, the anointing that fell in that office. And that's why I wanted to share that with your listeners tonight, Doug. That's why I'm so thankful, Todd, that you've called up, because it probably affected the millions of listeners that are hearing the Hagman Show tonight the same way it affected me yesterday, and it'll affect everybody who's listening to this show on podcasts for the next months, because it's that strong of an anointing, and I'm going to start incorporating parts of that doggone prayer every single day and my family time and my prayer time with my children, because guys, it's all based on scripture. And when you do this and you bind and you loose, guys, nothing can touch you, because you have the power of the cross and the power of Yeshua and the power of Yahweh standing shoulder to shoulder with you through the angels and through the power of God and through the Holy Spirit. Guys, it's an amazing thing that we can do through the prayer I'm getting so excited, Todd, I can't even talk. It's amazing what we can do with the power of prayer and how the power will change everything through the power of prayer, guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Todd, thank you so much for
thank you, Todd.
Call. We're going to move on here. We're going to go next to Mary Ellen in Maryland. Thanks for the call, Mary Ellen. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi. I just want to say thank you to all three of you for being truth tellers. And I wanted to comment on the corruption you were talking about in government. You know, that just was perfected in Arkansas. And
that's right.
Larry Nichols talks about that in his biography that I helped him write, that we just pulled off the presses 2 weeks ago. And, he goes into a lot of detail on how that all started and how it works, and went to Washington with him, with Bill Clinton, and the way it just got perfected and how hard it is now to try and stand up to it, because they've got so much on everybody that if they don't have something to bribe you with to shut you up, they'll make something up and crucify you with that. And it's very hard to speak the truth anywhere because they're working so hard to shut everybody down. Anyhow, I don't know if I'm allowed to say what the name of the book is, but
Mary Ellen, go ahead, please. That's fine with me. But how is Larry Nichols doing? Because I know he's having a lot of health problems.
He called me twice today, and he is feeling really good today. He's going to be changing his medical protocol, and we're just praying as we've been praying for months. Ted, you need to know, he is a new creature in Christ.
Oh, praise God.
Listen, in October, he went on Alex Jones before the election and said, he told us before he went on, he says, I may never be allowed to come on that program again, but I have to say this. And he preached 2 Chronicles 7:14 and told the nation through Alex that there is no way that we could save the country except for this one verse that God with specificity has given us to save our country. And he has been talking about it nonstop. He knows that God is good. He knows that he has seen a miracle. What God has done in his life, he told me 2 weeks ago at the Hear the Watchman conference. He called me at the end of the conference and he said, Mary Ellen, he said, it may be preachy, but there is no way we can give our message out without talking about Jesus Christ and talking about God's word. And he talks about this. He talks in the book, he talks about the enemies we face. And you know, it's, people are so quick to talk about the problems. But he's one of the few people, like you guys, that talks about solutions. What can we do about it? And he's got a whole chapter on the enemies we face and how to deal with them. Besides,
now, what's the verse that he's using now to talk about?
Well, it's 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Okay. I don't know what that is by memory. Can you tell me what it says?
Yeah. If my people who are called by my name.
Oh, okay.
Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land.
That's right. I love that verse.
Anyhow, his book is called 28 Years to Nowhere, An Inspirational Tragedy. It can be, you can get it at www.28, 28yearstonowhere.com. We're just about ready for another edition. Sales are going really well. It's only been out for 2 weeks, and we did a big order to begin with, and they're going off the shelf pretty quick. So,
Mary Ellen, thank you so much, and thank you for sharing the verse out of Chronicles, and thank you for being here, and thank you for supporting the Hagman Show, and thank you for calling in. We appreciate you, and we love you.
Absolutely, thank you, Mary Ellen. We're going to move on to Carrie in Michigan next. Carrie, you are live with Dr. Ted on this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Thank you for taking my call. Dr. Brower, I have a question regarding vaccines. You clearly stated the hazard of vaccines, but I'd like your input on the tetanus and or the Tdap vaccine, especially since so many of us are getting boosters every 10 years or earlier if they get a dirty wound. And I'd also like you to briefly include your thoughts on the Hep B vaccine.
Okay, thank you so much for calling. Guys, here's the problem that we run into. You know, I understand that this whole thing with tetanus is a mess. And this one of the, and that's, in fact, it's funny she asked me that question, because that's the only vaccine that I was able to get that was dimerosal free that I gave to Austin when he was younger. I gave him that vaccine but it had no thimerosal in it, because I realized the importance of, if you have a cut or a wound or whatever, that it was one of those things you had to basically just deal with from a horrible standpoint, or you could avoid any of that with that vaccine. That's probably one of the vaccines that really actually does something if you only have that vaccine. But what I recommend is this: make sure before you take that vaccine that it doesn't have any other vaccines mixed with it, and make sure that it doesn't have any thimerosal in it. That's really, really, really important. Then try to find out what the adjuvants are. And if you can get a clean version of that, that's one of the ones that I would not be diametrically opposed of using if it was clean. Now, as far as the hepatitis vaccine and all those types of things, I just don't see any point in those, especially for babies that are first born, because they're assuming automatically that the mother was an IV drug user and she has hepatitis. That's how the government looks at all of this stuff, that basically she was a prostitute, you know, an IV drug user, and that she has hepatitis and she's trying to prevent that child from getting hepatitis, or the government is, by immunizing that child immediately. The problem with that is that the newborn immune system doesn't work like that. It really is only going to get its immune system built up through breast milk. And for the first year, the vaccinations simply don't do a whole lot for that child at all. So I don't like the hepatitis vaccine, either for adults or for children. Now, certainly if you're in a high-risk environment and you're dealing with hepatitis patients and with blood and with fluids on an ongoing basis, you know, you might want to consider really making sure you're staying sterilized or covered up in some type of hazmat gloves or suit or whatever. But the reality is this: I like to have the immune system super strong. And so I would keep the potassium iodine, the D3, the K2, the astragalus, and all those things in my system on a regular basis if I was dealing with high-risk patients. But again, if you had to deal with high-risk HEP patients on an ongoing basis and with blood, et cetera, you might be okay to take that particular vaccine if you can get a clean version of it without thimerosal, without a bunch of adjuvants in it. The problem is trying to find it clean and having them tell you what's really in it is what's really in it, Doug. And Joe, so that's an interesting question. So thank you for calling it in. What's our next caller?
Carrie, thank you so much for calling.
Thanks, Carrie.
We have a few callers on the line. I'm going to give out the number again. If there's some slots that are opened up, if folks want to call, 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. We got Steve in Idaho next. Thanks for calling. You're live with Dr. Ted on this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Dr. Ted, my father died at 50 with hypercholesterolism and a contributing factor, and I have ongoing problems with cholesterol, not as bad as he did, but the doctors want to keep me on lovastatin 20 milligrams, one tablet a day, and I've tried to tell them about, you know, that it will cause problems with the calcium buildup, and they say no, it doesn't. And I was wondering if maybe someday when I'm at the doctor's office, I could have them call you to talk about it.
Oh, I'd love to, but the chances of me finding me at the office the specific day you're at the office with your doctor, it's very difficult. Now,
you know, Ted, and if I can offer a suggestion, Ted, I know you went through, you know, a number of the reasons. I don't know, for the calcification of the arteries and with the specific medication, I don't know if there's a fact sheet on this that one can print out.
Oh, yeah. If you go to Green Meadow Info, it's a great website. It gives you a lot of really good information on what's going on. It's Green Med Info, GreenMedInfo, and a lot of the articles that I quote, especially on calcification of the arteries from statin drugs, are all in that website. And it's free. It's a free resource. You can pick it up. You can just do a search engine on that, and it'll come right up. And you'll be able to read that and get that to your doctor. So I think you'd be a lot more effective at saying, here's the research, here's the double-blind clinical research studies showing that this statin drug is going to increase the risks of arterial calcification and actually increase my risk of heart disease. Why am I taking it? Now, from a natural standpoint, I'm not telling you not to take your drug. I can't do that. But from a natural standpoint, there are some things that you can do. You can take sustained-release niacin and natural gums and waxes. It works very well to help bring cholesterol down. We've got a product called Cholesterol X, which also does a great job. Plus, you can also take cod liver oil. Cod liver oil is a natural blood thinner, and you need to drink more water. The reality is that the vast majority of the population is dehydrated. You need to be drinking half your body weight in fluid ounces and water every single day. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you need to be drinking 100 ounces of water a day, 10-ounce glasses. If you weigh 300 pounds, you need 150 ounces of water every single day. And I always tell folks when I have my clinic, which I don't anymore, that if your cholesterol is between 200 and 250, I don't have a problem with it, because for years and years and years, 250 was considered normal cholesterol. It was okay. The problem is when the statin drugs came on the scene years ago, the drug companies realized they could make a lot of money pushing these drugs. And so they did. And so then they actually lobbied the entire Food and Drug Administration or the Centers for Disease Control or whoever sets these limits as far as the amount of cholesterol your body's supposed to have to lower this thing down so they could sell more statin drugs. Remember, the lower your cholesterol goes under 200, the higher your disease rates go, including cancer. Cancer goes through the roof when your cholesterol gets real low. Plus, you can't think clearly on statin drugs. They pretty much turn your brain to mush in most cases. Plus, they lower testosterone because cholesterol is necessary for the production of hormones, including testosterone. So you no longer have the ability or desire to even want to have sex with your wife because you're on statin drugs. In addition to that, they can cause skeletal muscle necrosis, which means your muscles start to rot. And when they start to rot, the fibers of your muscles get absorbed back into the blood because the body's trying to clean these dead tissue, this dead tissue out, and it gets into the kidneys, and the kidneys fail. So not only does it cause kidney damage, or can cause kidney damage, it can cause heart disease, it can cause cancer. I mean, this is just, it can cause diabetes. This is a list that goes, this is a list that goes on and on and on. In fact, in my book, Breakthrough Health, I list the top 10 drugs never to take, in my opinion, and one of the first drugs I list are the statin drugs, and I give you all of the side effects in that book, and I mean there's hundreds of them, of what statin drugs do and why they're so toxic to the human body and why you should never put them in your body. It's too easy to control cholesterol through natural supplementation than it is to have to take a statin drug. Now, if your doctor is going Looney Tunes on you and he goes, well, your cholesterol's at 180, we got to get it down lower, that's nuts. He doesn't understand lipid metabolism if he's doing that. He doesn't get it. And you need to get him a book on lipid metabolism and have him realize that you have to have cholesterol in high concentrations, which is why your liver makes cholesterol to maintain all of the hormonal functions of the body. That's why I'm a firm believer that natural, healthy cholesterol can be maintained through dietary change and lifestyle choices. My cholesterol stays between 200 and 220. If it goes under 200, if I get it tested, which I very rarely do because it doesn't matter because I know it's always healthy, I would actually eat more saturated fat like butter, etc., to bring my cholesterol back up. Plus, I try to eat 4 to 6 eggs, whole eggs, organic eggs, every single day because I want my cholesterol up a little bit because I'm 61 years old and I want to maintain my testosterone levels. Because remember, about every 10 years you get older, you lose about 7% of your lean muscle mass because of a loss of testosterone over the age of 40. So you have to understand that if you start intentionally running your cholesterol down, you're going to run your testosterone down, your libido is going to go down, your health is going to down, your muscles are going to go down, your strength is going to go down, your cholesterol is going to, this drug is going to cause your arteries to plaque with calcium in some cases, it's going to cause kidney damage, heart disease. It's not worth the risks. That's why I absolutely loathe statin drugs. So go to that greenmeadowinfo.com and you can get all of this information about calcification of arteries completely for free. Print that up. And then what you can do is you can take that with you to your doctor's appointment and say, hey, doctor, can you read this for me while I'm sitting here and read the summary on this and find out why you think I need this statin drug? Now, chances are his continuing education classes have been paid by one of the manufacturers of statin drugs. And he's been brainwashed into believing that these are okay. They're not okay. They're never okay. To me, it's one of the greatest travesties that has ever been promulgated among physicians is the use of statins to bring cholesterol down. There's too many easy ways to do it from a natural standpoint. If you do indeed have high cholesterol, which I mean over 250, you can bring it down very, very easily through dietary change, water, cod liver oil, vitamin E, sustained release niacin, our cholesterol X, all kinds of natural protocols for healthy cholesterol, guys that are out there.
Excellent. And Steve, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Steve.
We're going to move on to Kauai guy in Hawaii.
Hey, hello, how y'all?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good, good. Yeah, it's Kauai guy from from the Bozeman trip. Yeah, and the Remnant Forum, and I have a question for Dr. Ted about cataracts. First, I want to say, thank you for all the, incredible, I listen to you all the time. You're on my telephone for, some great information and inspiration. And, something on my mind is, back to that trip, and your blood of Christ, that whole thing. The whole trip, I don't imagine you're familiar with Ron Wyatt scraping the blood off the mercy seat. And, anyway, that whole blood of Christ thing, the scalar wave, the heart energy. Yeah, I totally get it. And I would only just suggest, in fact, I mentioned it to, Nathan Leal's wife when I called the other day, to mention to him about some, bacon footed thing. But, if you had just said, for lack of a better term, I could have diffused that whole thing. That turned into him doing some great research and expose on the guy that did the Watchman conference. But nevertheless, if you just said it, for lack of a better term. But in any case,
Well, thanks so much for the phone call. I really appreciate you calling in and letting us know that. Thanks, guys. Thank you. I think it was Steve. Is he calling right now? Or is it
Kauai guy from?
It was Kauai guy. Thank you, Kauai guy.
We are going to go to Jennifer in Pennsylvania next. Jennifer, welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report with Dr. Ted.
Yes, thank you, Joe. Thank you, Doug. And thank you, Dr. Ted. Dr. Ted, I've been writing a couple of letters to you and emails. I have not gotten a response, but I do have some information that might explain some things about the Magellans and MRSA. And I did a lot of digging. MRSA, which a lot of people have been diagnosed with MRSA, but it has something to do with Magellans. And to get to the bottom real quickly, borax, the laundry soap that you can get at Dollar General, right? Mm-hmm. If people soak in that, they'll notice it starts to peel back, and it has a lot to do with the chemtrails, which might explain a lot of the skin disorders, okay? Now, I went and did digging and digging. My niece was exposed to some things, my nephew, everyone that I know was in the hospital, and they came out with all these other problems. I'm not quite sure if there's something in these, some of the, I want to say vaccinations, but I don't know if it's vaccinations or other things, you know. But everybody that comes out of the hospital is sicker. You know, same with geriatrics. I work with the geriatric patients. They're always more sicker than they came, you know what I mean? They go in the hospital, but they're sicker with other problems.
Hey,
so
Jen,
I did a bunch of digging.
I don't mean to interrupt you. We do have a full bank of callers. And folks, after this call, we're going to ask that we just get the questions in. So, Jen, do you have a specific question for Dr. Ten? I interrupted your point.
I was just hoping that we could get a response back because, you know, a lot of us have a lot of information to help here, and we don't get anywhere.
Jennifer, here's what I want you to do, okay? The next time you write me a letter, just put on there that you called in on the Hagman Show, and I will tell Austin to make sure I get the letter. I don't think the listeners understand the plethora of emails that we get at the office and the amount of mail that I get. I mean, literally it's in the hundreds and hundreds of letters. And what ends up happening is I don't have an ability to sort through that. So my staff has to. And so if it's not something relevant to what I need to know, my staff handles it or it doesn't, they get to me at all. Just put down that you're one of the Hagman listeners that you called into the show. I'll tell Austin to make sure I get the letter, and I'll make sure you get a response. How about that?
Hold on, Ted. I got it on hold.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Do you have another phone call? Any phone calls, Joe?
Oh, yeah. We got a bunch of them, Ted. We're going to go to Rita. Rita, thanks for calling. You're live with Dr. Ted Brewer.
Hi.
Hey, Rita.
This is Rita, and I'm interested in finding out. I stopped smoking 25 years ago, and I have been chewing Nicorette gum since then, and I want to know if I'm in peril.
I'll tell Austin to make sure I get the letter. I don't think that she's in peril. I just think that, you know, she's addicted to nicotine. My mom, Rita, she drank actually until she went into the nursing home, and she smoked like while she was in the nursing home. Finally, the last couple of years of the nursing home, she stopped because it became a bit of a hassle with all the drugs they had her on to take her out to have a cigarette break. Now, nicotine is not necessarily good because it's a vasoconstrictant. It's not healthy for you to be doing that. But to me, as far as the Nicorette versus the cigarette smoke, it's probably going to be healthier to use the Nicorettes. Now, if you try the cortisol buster, we've had some good results with that. People using the cortisol buster, especially with anxiety, et cetera, to stop smoking, they've had good response with that. And that's what I take every day. I take the cortisol buster on an ongoing basis. And what it does, it helps to keep me real stable and real calm and real relaxed. And a lot of times it's nervous energy that people have that makes them want to crave the nicotine. But remember, there was a study that was done a few years ago using a thermograph, and they took the person's hand, and they stuck it inside the thermograph, and it was completely red. And they took one inhalation of a cigarette with the nicotine, and they put the hand back into the thermograph 30 seconds later, and the hand had turned completely blue from the vasoconstriction of the nicotine. Now, the Nicorettes aren't going to do exactly the same way that fast, because it's going through the digestive tract and through the stomach and through the mucous membranes in the mouth, it won't go nearly as quick as a drug delivery device as the lung tissue does, with the little sacs inside of the lung directly being linked to the blood vessels. So I personally think that you're better off using the Nicorettes than you are smoking cigarettes, but you probably need to try to wean yourself off those if at all possible.
All right. Well, Ted, thank you so much.
Thank you for the call, Rita. Sheila in Massachusetts, we're coming to you next. You're live on this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Well, hello, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to the beginning of the program where they were talking about Trump, and I wanted to ask you guys, all of you, if you've noticed how everything has changed since the witches had announced their commitment to stop binding him. And I think that there's so few of us that even know how to do spiritual warfare, but we're the only ones that can unbind it. He doesn't seem like the kind of person who changes his mind, but everything has changed since that. It's been about a month, and I just wanted to know if that had occurred to you, and if and just make a comment about that if you could.
Rita, that's a great observation, but the problem
is... Sheila.
I'm sorry, Sheila. I said Sheila. Sheila,
okay.
Thank you. That's a great observation. The problem is, Sheila, that even before he went into office, he started putting Goldman Sachs executives in place. And this is way before the witchcraft had anything to do with it. Because the Bible says, you know, how can I say this in a nice way? There's really no nice way to say it. They basically, when Jesus was asked about this, he said that, you know, you can't, a house divided cannot stand. You know, how can Beelzebub cast out Beelzebub? And the problem is this. If Trump has been, if he's capitulated over to the dark side, he's done things he shouldn't have done, and he's in the middle of this mess with these Sabbatean Kabbalists, you know, because we see the Jared Kushner's in there, a member of Shabbat that teaches the Kabbalah. If we know that he's involved with all of this stuff, I don't think the witches really would have had any impact on him, to be honest with you, because he's already decided that he's going to do the things he's going to do. Now, quite frankly, you're right. You know, we need to be binding and loosing these spirits and these demons in the White House and around Trump on a daily basis. And in fact, my family and I pray for Trump on an ongoing basis. But here's the thing. If Trump wants to be doing what Trump's doing, if Trump wants to be involved with the choices that he's made, it's very difficult to bind and loose it from somebody who doesn't want to get rid of it. Does that make sense? And so that's why it's important that we stand firm and we realize this isn't about Donald Trump. It's about being about our Father's business. And Donald Trump is a better substitute to me for the White House than the Witch of Benghazi would have been, even though he's capitulated at this point, what it appears to be at this point. Now, I'm on the same platform with Joe. I believe that we can pray and continue to pray for Donald, and that there'll be some type of spark that may set off in him, like happened with John F. Kennedy when his PT boat was shot up and, you know, he almost died, and he wrote that book, Profiles in Courage, and he had an epiphany, and he decided he was going to stand against this evil. And of course, the evil came in and they blew his head off, is what happened. They blew the back of his head off, you know, with Lyndon Johnson and all the rest of those nutbags. But the reality, by the way, who also did the Johnson Amendment to stop the churches from talking about the junk going on in politics. So the truth is this. I think we need to be binding and loosing with Trump. I think we need to be believing God that he's going to have a restoration, a change, that he's going to have an epiphany, that he's going to have a true born-again experience if he hasn't had one yet. I mean, I believe we need to pray that. But the Bible says you should know them by their fruits.
Yeah. Do you think, you know how they have the underground tunnels and thing under the White House and all the things that Steve Quayle is teaching about, what's under there and the entities? Do you think it's possible that they've come right up through there, or they've brought him right down there? And I mean, it seems like he's absolutely being terrorized.
Possessed. Well, the thing about it is, remember, these guys, when the guys go into the White House, you know, a lot of them really want to change things, but they haven't been given the talk yet. They haven't been told about Roswell. They haven't been told about the OSS. They haven't been told about the CIA. They haven't been talking about the interdimensional entities that control us. They don't understand all of this stuff, especially if they're not spiritual people. And when they get into this position of power, and all of a sudden they get the talk, and they begin to realize, wait a minute, you mean we got a group of wizards and warlocks that are maintaining an energy field around the planet that's controlling this evil? Are you kidding me? Well, then they get introduced to some of this stuff and they start, whoa, this is nuts. Because it's almost like it's happening to every single president that we have that gets in there, except for Ronald Reagan, who got shot a couple months into his office. And of course, then George Bush ran the White House pretty much for 8 years and then 4 years after that. And we know this is happening to all of these guys. So yes, it's a very good observation you made. It's almost as if he's turned into a sock puppet for Lucifer and that something has possessed him or something has come into him. Now remember, Tom Horn wrote a book too, and he talks about an invocation ceremony that takes place with all of the presidents of the United States bringing in this demonic spirit into these guys because of this fact that the United States Capitol has been laid out in a pentagram with an open leg of the pentagram left, you know, detached and open, so we have an open leg of the pentagram to bring in the seething energies of Lucifer from these Masonic Lodge people that laid this place out. So it's a very evil place. So something could have happened to him when he got into the White House, because when he read his Easter address, it was almost robotic in nature. It was like emotionless, and it was very strange because it was definitely, it didn't seem like the Donald Trump who had been able to use his ability in rhetoric and speeches to basically bring huge crowds into meetings. So it's a pretty good observation, Sheila, that something's happened to Trump since he got into the White House, and I would not be surprised about that at all. How about you, and how about you, Joe? How about you, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, who knows what is going on behind the scenes that won't know and will never really know unless somebody were to spill the beans. And even then, we don't know for sure, but he's obviously, in my opinion, he's obviously learning to navigate around these different, you know, power groups and entities that have sway and power and have his ear. And he's trying to learn how to do it properly to keep not only his promises intact, but to keep his agenda moving forward.
There's a message going around that says, dear President Trump, those of us who elected you see what's going on. We're aware of the soft coup attempt by Obama and these democratic socialists. Sir, you should know this. You only need to get on TV or Twitter and call out the militia, and millions of us will answer the call to uphold and defend our constitutional republic against these domestic, and I will add, demonic entities.
That's all well and good, but I don't see how, I mean...
No,
I mean, have the right intentions. Meaning
okay,
they
okay, I've got to trip in it for a second. Okay, number one, and everybody listen to me for a second, because this is my opinion, this is how I feel. See, Doug and Joe, you have character. You know, I've got character. If I tell you I'm going to be somewhere at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be there probably 10 minutes till 5. I mean, I'm dependable. It's what I do. Okay, Trump has been swimming with the sharks and with a group of people that are very unsavory all of his adult life. I mean, he admits to that. I mean, we have a person here that doesn't seem to have the same type of character that we have as far as doing what we say we're going to do. Or he's been completely threatened to be killed, or him and his family or his grandchildren have been threatened, and he's decided to capitulate to avoid this happening to him like happened to Kennedy. Now, I don't know what the scenario is here, or we were all duped by this guy, but the reality is this. It takes a person of genuine character to really do what they say they're going to do. And we saw a lot of instances with Trump, especially with the way he treated women and the things he said on camera with Billy Bush and those types of things, that didn't show a large amount of this character. We saw that in the pre-election cycle. Now, we did not want to believe this because we were doing everything possible to prevent the election of the Wicked Witch of Benghazi. Because we had enough of the Gay Kenyan already. We had enough of all of this mess. So we wanted this stuff changed and stopped. And so we, all of us in our collectiveness, we put on blinders. And I said, when Dave Hodges asked me on his show, Doug, last summer, he said, do you trust Trump 100%? I said, absolutely not. I said, we will only know what he's going to do and what his true character is after he's been in office for a while. Now, I'm with Joe here. I believe he's trying to navigate what's going on. But when he puts people like Gottlieb, head of the FDA, who's a known vaccine pusher, who wants mandatory MMR vaccines for adults and wants to get rid of all of these exemptions for the children's of families who are against this and forced immunizations in these children, after he spoke so vehemently about his hatred towards vaccines and having to look at this and setting up Kennedy on his committee,
Something happens after he got into the White House. Somebody had a little talk with the boy. Now, I don't know who had the talk. I don't understand what happened, but I really believe that some of his rhetoric wasn't false when he was talking. I really believe he wanted some changes to take place, like make America first again, make America great again. You don't do that by starting more wars in the Middle East. It doesn't work that way. We need to bring our troops home out of there. Let those guys finish killing themselves off or whatever they want to do over there and just finish, do that, stay out of their mess. Our mess.
Oh, we didn't lose you, Ted. Maybe it's just another hiccup in the audio stream.
That's in Syria, and what's going on in the Middle East has contributed. It's our country. He's simply a hireling. And if he doesn't want to do what's right, he won't get but one term in the White House because all the people that stood behind him aren't going to stand behind him again. So guys, we've got to let him know this. So whether or not he's been threatened, capitulated, or the whole thing was bogus to start with, or he was the accidental president, it doesn't make any difference. We have to be about our Father's business to fix this mess. Donald Trump is not our Messiah. He is not our Savior. He is not going to do that for us. It is still we, the people, that have to be in charge of all of this stuff, Doug and Joe.
You're exactly right, Ted. And to Lori, Debbie, and Donna on hold, we are just a moment away from the end of the show. But just like last time, we left one caller on hold, Adrian, and he was the first caller today. We will do the same for you, Debbie, Donna, and Lori. If you call back next time we take calls, we will put you to the head of the line.
That's right.
But thanks to all the callers tonight for calling in.
You're really
so much.
You know, we've got the best audience collectively.
Oh, we do. The Hagman listeners and the Brower listeners are the best I've ever seen anywhere in any shows I've ever done. They're so responsive and they're so generous and they're so kind and they're so smart. My gosh, great phone calls and like great questions. All of them. Every one of the questions were brilliant. All the way from the Morgellons issue with the borax. All of this stuff, just brilliant, brilliant questions. Thank you so much, and thank you for saying how much you appreciated the prayer that we prayed at the beginning, because guys, it's all about prayer, it's all about scalar waves, it's all about changing the energy field around the planet to one of holiness and righteousness. The Bible says, think on the good things. It says that perfect love casts out fear. And that's what we have to understand, guys. They're keeping in a fear-based mindset because it confuses everything. That's the energy these guys feed off, these interdimensional entities, and that's not any good, and God tells us not to be that way. So, guys, thanks for having me on. And again, the coupon code for the show tonight is Doug5, and it's good for 4 days through Monday night. And it'll be 5% off the entire website, including all of our packages, all of our products. And guys, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for at least getting your multiple vitamins from us. I appreciate it. I want to thank you personally. Let you know we love you and we appreciate you. And thanks for supporting the Hagmans also. And guys, thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Well, thanks for coming on, Ted. And it's been very informative as always. And thanks for hanging in the third hour for calls. I know we didn't have that planned today when you woke up. You weren't planning on doing the third hour. But I think it added an extra beneficial and informative element to the show. So we want to thank you for that and for the discount to the Hagman and Hagman
right
listeners.
On. Doug 5, thank you. And thank you, Ted, again.
Well, Doug and Joe, you're welcome. I love doing your show. Thanks for making me part of your team. Thanks for making me part of the integral message that we have to all of the people listening to all of the alternative radio and TV, because we have to stay together and we have to be in unison and we have to work as a unit, as a single unit. So important.
That's right. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you. Good night, guys.
All right.
That'll do it for us. Until Monday, stay safe. God bless and have a great weekend.